John Batchelor. Joe Papalardo's new book is Red Sky Morning, the epic true story of Texas Ranger Company F. The shootout that takes place in March of 1887 is led by a man named Will Scott. Where does he come from? Why is he such a tough guy? Why is he so good at running a ranger company that's about 10 or 11 or 12 men coming and going, but it's disciplined? And Captain Scott sets the tone of everybody. Very stoic, hard riding, extremely hard riding, living the life in the wilderness as they move around the state as law enforcement. His beginning is as a volunteer detective. How so, Joe?
Yeah, the toughness and the guile you can see from the beginning of his law enforcement career, because he's a self-appointed undercover detective. He infiltrates a very infamous, the most infamous gang at the time, the Sam Bass Gang. It was committing a series of very brazen robberies. And outside of Dallas, he decides independently to track them down, infiltrate the gang, and turn over information to the Texas Rangers had been hunting them. So he does this all on his own as a very young man, and it works. He almost gets killed for his pains, but it does work. He delivers some information to the Rangers, and he becomes a Ranger, and that's how he earns his entrance. That is his style. It's guile backed with deliberate force, and his approach feels very modern to me, more modern than I thought. I think Texas Rangers, you think they come into town, they know who the bad guys are, and they shoot them, and that's the end of it. But the very modern feel and use of informants, of undercover officers, intelligence operations, the way that they would set up an ambush versus setting up an arrest to get the desired effect. The fact that they're raiding the Connor encampment in the middle of the night feels modern. That's how special operations forces do it. That's how police do it. Catching them unawares. A lot of these things felt very modern. And that's Scott's approach, the deliberate use of violence. And when you do use violence, it'd be very overwhelming with them. Make sure that the odds are in your favor. He's a tactician. He's also very hard charging, and he's willing to take risks to get the job done because he's under a lot of pressure from the governor and the governor's office and local politicians to get this job done and then move on to the next crisis, because the Rangers are always expected to be riding hard and getting results. So risk averse. He just tries to balance that with intelligence gathering and all these other sort of tools at his disposal.
You make it very clear throughout the telling of the Texas Ranger Company F that what is also modern about them is that they're on a budget that's constantly being cut back. So they have to do more with less each time, and they're not sure about next year, whether they're going to be extended. And the reports that are sent in about their conduct can mean that they're going to be disbanded or be trimmed back by the governor in some fashion. So I had to remember this is a political event as well as a law enforcement event. Now, about Scott, how he works, you're quite right. His first instinct is to send spies into the region pretending to be what at one point wagon hobos, a couple of his boys. As you say, it's not hard to convince people they're cowboys because they are cowboys. That's where he recruits them. But it all works. However, this is a moment in time that, Joe, you make very clear that the climate determines a great deal of what's going to happen to the Texas Rangers and to the Texas frontier. The winter of 86-87, if I remember correctly, in other words, the winter right before the shootout, is really severe. What does it do to the herds? What does it mean about the cowboys?
Right. The idea of the open range was being strangled by barbed wire, and everyone seems to think, well, the barbed wire got set up by local landowners who wanted to make sure that they had the sole access to water supplies and all of this. But what I didn't realize before I started researching books, there was these enormous economic forces that were ending the open range, and it was mostly based on weather. There was horrific blizzards that blew that drove the herds of open range cattle into drift fences, and drift fences were supposed to keep the cattle sort of, you know, in the right areas, especially along state lines. So they'd be pressed up against these fences or, you know, near railroad lines where people could see them. They were dying by the hundreds of thousands. It was this inhumane crisis and also in economic crisis, the amount of cattle loss was enormous. They can't sustain losses like that when you can't control your animals, when they're just wandering around everywhere. Plus, there's all the sort of political turmoil that following the herds into Indian territories causes, following the herds across state lines, and there's all these attendant sort of fights over that. So the way to organize all that chaos and to protect the cattle industry and to protect the territorial rights of A, B, and C entities, fencing is the answer. And there's a lot of people who won't accept that, but the Texas state government very much wants to bring that sort of control. And the Texas Rangers are the agents of change. They are bringing the barbed wire. They're backing the people who set barbed wire up and hunting down the fence cutters and the fence nippers who go out and cut down the barbed wire as soon as it's set up. And while they're at it, usually steal some cattle. So they're part, again, of this political process. And they are the ones who are bringing the change by gunpoint to people who don't want to the open range advocates who do not want it, which include judges, local politicians, local law enforcement. So, again, they're interlopers in these communities.
And Captain Scott is meant to enforce a political transition underway that everybody can feel, but they're not quite sure where we're headed. Texas's economy is going to adjust. No more cattle drives to Kansas. We're going to bring the railroad in here. And cowboys are attractive and romantic, but not necessarily employable anymore. We have 30 seconds. Does Scott see all this in his memoirs when he reflects upon it?
Scott saw it so much so that he, after the Rangers, his stint with the Rangers was building railroads, especially in Mexico. So yes, very much so. Brooks saw it as well. It was right in front of them. They were able to wander the state and see everything firsthand and process that into their careers later in life. So, yeah, they had a very keen eye on this political dynamic.
We need to go to Brooks because that also tells the story of Texas Ranger Company F, the epic true story, Red Sky Morning, Joe Pappalardo. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.